Many of you are surely wondering why I have summoned you at this hour.
It's time for the big interview!
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
That's right, it's big. It's the big names, the big news, the biggest stories. It's the next big thing. What's the big deal? It's the big interview.
What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Money Life brings you the big thinkers, the top experts, the brightest minds. With the big interview, you can stay informed about all the financial matters that are important to you, all in one big package.
Oh, boy. Got a package this big. I've always wanted to have a huge package.
Did my taxes pay for this?
The big interview. Sit down, strap yourself in, and get ready to learn.
Your mind is beginning to work. It's entirely due to my influence, of course. You mustn't take any credit.
Well, today, I'm hoping we're going to get your mind working around a subject that I almost can't believe we're doing on this show. And yet, it is completely in keeping with what we do. And that's because we're going to be talking penny stocks today. It is not something we discuss a lot on this show because there are so many problems inherent in the penny stock world. I mean, back when I was writing my stupid investment of the week column, if ever I had a tough time finding something to write about, I could pretty much guarantee that somebody would be pumping and dumping a penny stock and giving me some reason to write about one. I didn't do too many of those because truthfully, I didn't want to write the same story over and over and over again. But today we're going to talk about a different story because my guest is Peter Leeds. He is the author of Penny Stocks for Dummies. And yes, that's a book. It's not a statement that penny stocks are for dummies. It is a book. And if you want more information, peterleeds.com, Leeds, L-E-E-D-S, peterleeds.com, or follow him on Twitter where he is at Peter_Leeds. Peter Leeds, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks for having me here, Charles.
You know, when I take a look at this book, and again, it's Penny Stocks for Dummies, the book, not a statement. But you've got so much that you have to get over in terms of, for anybody who's done this for a while, penny stocks have a bad name. So let's start there. How do you convince somebody that, you know, not the, oh, well, it's only 6 cents a share, you know, kind of thing, but that, hey, you can actually make money here? Because it's not like we're going, well, you know, Ford and GM, they were penny stocks once.
Right. You know, it's like this. Most people know most of penny stocks are bad investments. 95% in my analysis are horrible investments, but people don't know that and they get involved in these companies thinking that they're, you know, a good opportunity, but they're bad companies. What we're trying to do is find the high quality companies that just happen to be trading at low prices per share because they are undiscovered or new or overlooked.
Is there a difference? Because here's the thing I'm going to point out that happens that I really want to get my head around. When I've been covering penny stocks, there are the ones where you're going, oh, the company went out and spent money to promote itself, which we know is a bad sign because big companies, they don't really need to worry about that. And brand name stocks don't go off and hire, you know, an investor relations firm to put out a 20 page soft sell piece. But then you get companies that they're just off doing their business, and suddenly they're the target of somebody going pump and dump because you can play those games with these kinds of stocks. How do you tell the difference and say, here's the one that's legitimate versus here's the one that isn't, and, you know, which one's being gamed and which one's not?
Well, you got to look at the financial picture of the company. I mean, the ones that get, you know, promoted and touted like that and gamed are companies that are so thinly traded and they don't have a lot of financial backbone in them. You know, you said yourself earlier, Ford was a penny stock. That's one of the ones we selected, and it did really well. It's a, you know, you don't think of Ford when you think of penny stocks, but any stock under $5 per share technically meets the criteria. What we're doing is we're trying to find those companies that are penny stocks, but are fundamentally solid. And there's very few of them, but the good news is that it's not difficult to uncover which are the better quality ones, and it's not difficult to avoid all the scams and pump and dumps that are out there. It's actually quite easy.
So walk us through that process. If somebody came to you and said, okay, I want to hear how this works before I buy the book, what would you tell them to, oh, let's go search for something and come up with a name or what have you that works?
Well, rule number one is, where did you hear about the stock in the first place? If you heard about it from a free source, you're very likely to be hearing about what is a scam or a pump and dump. What you want to do is look at the company's fundamentals and financial position. So if a company has more assets than liabilities, and if they have very low debt load and increasing revenues, then you've taken the first step to finding a good quality company. And you go from there. You just look deeper and deeper into it. And with penny stocks, any one issue can derail the whole company. So what you have to do is look at basically everything, the management team, the revenues, the financial ratios, everything like that. And then you can sort of scale back to find what are some of the better quality options. And then you keep an eye on them and make sure that they're a legitimate company as opposed to, just jumping on something you heard about for free in an email or newsletter or something like that.
When we talk about those kinds of companies, one of the issues that comes up is that the guys who are the promoters, when they're trying to get you to look past warts and all, and you say, okay, well, thanks for that tip. I went and I looked, and this is a stock with a going concern letter in the book or what have you. Their response is, well, every penny stock pretty much has a going concern letter. How much are you willing to sort of overlook that? Because, if somebody had a going concern letter, which for those who don't know is a note from your auditors basically saying, we have a real question as to whether or not this company can continue as a going concern. If there was a stock that was above the $5 level and you saw that, you'd be pretty much going, I'm out of here. But they're right. At the penny level, you've got a lot of that. How much do you have to overlook that? Or how much do you say, you know what, red flags are red flags and it doesn't make a difference, penny stock or otherwise?
Well, I'll tell you what, Charles, there's so many options out there. You don't need to take a chance with something that's iffy. And I'll tell you my personal analysis and my team's analysis. If we find a going concern letter in their financial statements, we just walk away and look for something else. It's that easy. I mean, if you hear about a company that for free, you see a company's got a going concern letter or they're trading on the pink sheet markets, we leave them behind and go look at the other options that we have.
You mentioned the pink sheet markets, and of course they've gotten better and they're more transparent and all those other sorts of things. How much do you warn people away from them? Because you do have, again, if we're defining penny stocks as shares trading under $5, you do have those occasions where it's not just a Ford, but it's a Citibank or what have you that wind up qualifying because they've gotten that low. Are we looking for companies that are trading on the main exchanges? Do we automatically rule out something that winds up being on pink sheets, or how do we deal with it? Because, you're in Canada. For some folks, the Toronto Exchange is a dirty word when it comes to a tiny stock.
Well, that's exactly it. But what we do is, if we do not in the Peter Leeds newsletter ever promote or talk about any company on the pink sheets, we instantly overlook them and move on. We look at the legitimate exchanges, which include the Toronto Stock Exchange, and they include the Amex and the NASDAQ and even the New York Stock Exchange and the over-the-counter bulletin board, which is owned by the NASDAQ. These are exchanges where there is a high requirement for reporting the financials. It's exchanges where there's, a higher barriers to entry to get onto that exchange and greater requirements. Companies on the pink sheets and the OTC markets and stuff, they can get on there very easily. It doesn't cost them a lot. And the companies that are on there, generally, your odds are much worse if you're looking at those companies.
There is a school of thought behind the penny stock investment world that says, look, when you're talking about a stock that's trading for so little, it's so easy or so much easier for them to wind up doubling because they're going from a small base. I have never bought that because to me, if something's trading for 50 cents, it only has to lose 50 cents to go to zero. And it's all percentages to me. How do you take a look at it? I mean, when you look at penny stock investing, here we are talking about all the things. Okay, let's weed out this and weed out that and all the things that we're doing. When you're looking at somebody, what are you telling them is an appropriate expectation if you find the right penny stocks to invest in for what you're going to be able to return?
Well, that's exactly it. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, you're going to risk 100% of whatever you invest, whether that you buy a stock for 2 cents or 50 cents or $30, you could lose all your money. What we're looking to do is find those companies where they have more volatility. And generally, you're going to find that more with penny stocks. It'll be a lot more volatile than something like Apple or IBM or ExxonMobil because they're so much smaller. It takes less to move them. So you got to have a stomach for it, but you're going to you know, if you pick them right, you're going to see a lot more volatility than you would have in some of the larger cap stocks.
And as you look at this, what's the failure rate and what's the trading rate? I mean, if you're talking about these volatile stocks, are we talking you're going to be an active investor and you're really going to be trading in and out a lot? And what's the expectation on, you know, hits to misses?
Well, what we do is we look at companies for a longer term perspective. We're investors, not traders. So we're not looking to day trade in and out all day long, you know, and keep an eye on the markets at all moments. We find a company that's a good quality company and we let it have time to play out its business model. I mean, if their revenues are increasing, that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over the course of a few months. And you know, we pick about a stock a week and on average, our hold time is about 6 months.
Well, it is really interesting stuff because I think that folks are fascinated with the world of penny stocks, but that's also why they wind up sort of going after the wrong things. They fall for those stories or what have you. And if you don't want to fall for those stories and you want to develop a methodology that's going to help you, check out Peter Leeds' book. It is Penny Stocks for Dummies. And yeah, I think most people are dummies when it comes to the penny stock world. You need to get up and do it if you're going to do it right, because otherwise you're going to be a victim. If you want more information, check out PeterLeeds.com or follow him on Twitter where he is at Peter_Leeds. Peter Leeds, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you.
There is much more to go on today's edition of Money Life, so sit back and relax. We'll be right back after these messages with something you don't want to miss.